Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Welcome to Work on Air. It's Angelina from Women of Africa Care, and we're so excited to come to you on our first episode for our January month. A very special thank you to Helen and Rob Rowe, the founders of Gospel for Grampian, who has been gracious to give us continued airtime to minister to women and youth out there. So for our women listeners, every Thursdays at 9 a.m., and 7 p.m., we have 59 minutes of inspiration to women listeners. And on Sundays at 10 a.m. and repeated on Mondays at 10 p.m., we have a youth inspiration. So Gospel for Grampian listeners, don't forget to tune in if you're a youth or a woman and are looking for inspiration. Women of Africa Care, love to inspire women and youth. That is our passion. Our audience are women and youth in terms of empowering and inspiring them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and using the word of God and the principle of God's word to encourage, to correct, to teach, to uplift, and to inspire women and youth to be their best version. So as we kick off our January month with our first episode for the month, and as we begin our journey in January, everybody throughout the world, or majority of the people in society, look at January as a New Year's resolution where everybody is focused on improving their year ahead by doing things better than what they did the year before. And I'm reminded about what Albert Einstein says. He says, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So if we're expecting a better outlook in 2024, then we have to look at how we did things last year and how best we improve that, right? If we want a better year, we got to do things differently and more excellently than the year before. And so as part of our New Year's resolution, why not start with saying, Lord, draw me close to you. Let me have a more effective spiritual journey with you, Lord, this year than the year before. Let my relationship with you be more deeper and more genuine than the year before. So what a great way to start our January inspiration with, draw me close to you. I just want to pray for our listeners today. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for all our gospel listeners out there throughout over 80 countries are listening to our radio station, Inspiration. And we thank you, Lord, for Robin Helen Rowe that has given us the privilege to minister on air. And for all the listeners, Lord, we thank you that you give them listening ears that they will hear, with the Spirit of the Lord giving them revelation of what must be spoken in and through our lives. So, Father, as we inspire, let it be all of Jesus and none of us. We surrender our lips to you. We surrender our minds to you, Spirit of the living God. And we pray that you will touch every listener, that whatever words that are spoken through our lips will be transformative in their hearts, changing their lives in many ways for the glory of God. Amen and amen. So a very, very, very beautiful welcome to all our listeners today as we start our January month. I'm going to be talking about the spirit of excellence. And as we start our new year, everything we do, we need to do it with a right spirit and a spirit of excellence. And I think Daniel, you know, explains it to us very, very well. His life was such a good illustration of the excellence of God. When we go into the Word of God, Daniel chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, it says, "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretations. Then when Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king spoke with Daniel, Daniel, which out of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry?" So here, Daniel was presented to them as a Jewish nation representative. And in here, God was highlighting what an excellent spirit Daniel had. And it says here that even in verse 14, Daniel is saying, or the people are saying, I've even heard of you, Daniel, that the spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now that wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read the writing and make known it to me, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I've heard of you, Daniel, that you can make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, you will be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about your neck, and you shall be the third ruler of the kingdom. So now here we are seeing that the king Nebuchadnezzar and all the other kings that Daniel served gave him reward for the excellent spirit that he had, because in that excellent spirit, he was able to interpret dreams, give revelation, and give good wisdom counsel to the kings on matters that trouble the king. And it says here that nobody could compare to the excellence and the wisdom and knowledge that Daniel had. So what we're picking up with this, that with the spirit of excellence comes wisdom and knowledge, and therefore promotion is your portion. And so as we start our 2024, if you are asking God for promotion, then you need to understand that promotion is the outcome of an excellent spirit, the outcome of wisdom, knowledge, and an excellent spirit. And an excellent spirit can only come from God, because God is excellent. So the nature of God is excellence. And so if you want to get promotion, then you need that same excellent spirit that was upon Daniel, which is the spirit of the living God. And so we're going to be talking about, let our New Year's resolution start with the spirit of excellency. And to do that, I want to talk about one of the subjects that I studied when I was studying Masters in Christian Leadership. I studied at Destiny College International, and the lecturer of the subject was Dr. Vivian Rogers, and he wrote the book Driven for Success, and it's called Excellence Driven for Success. And so I'm going to be going through some inspiration that I drew from my lectures about what it entails to have an excellent spirit. So when we unpack our resolution for the year, whatever we want to do, whether it be losing weight, whether it be drawing close to God, whether it be learning to exercise the fruits of the spirit, whether it be going to study, education, whatever we plan to do for the year, everything we need to do must start from a foundation of excellence. So let excellence be your foundation for whatever you want to do this year. And so to do that, let us understand what excellence is by Dr. Vivian Rogers. So in his book called Driven for Excellence, in chapter 5, Dr. Vivian talks about in pursuit of excellence. And while we're talking about this, Daniel had a spirit of excellence. So if you want to have the wisdom, knowledge, and promotion that Daniel had, then you need to pursue excellence. Daniel served 4 kings over a period of 60 years. There was consistency of excellence in him, that every time a king replaced a previous king in Babylon, they appointed Daniel in a high position. First, he served under Nebuchadnezzar. Then he served Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belteshazzar. And then he served Darius. And then he served King Cyrus. The excellent spirit that came with wisdom and knowledge and understanding enabled him to succeed over 60 years in a career of a high position. So consistency in promotion comes with in pursuit of excellence, having a more excellent spirit. So every year when you start your New Year's resolution, let excellence be the foundation that you pursue for everything you want to do for the year ahead. Chapter 5, In Pursuit of Excellence, from Excellence Driven for Success, author Dr. Vivian Rogers. This is what he says. He says, a person of excellence is teachable. If you want to have a spirit of excellence, the first thing you need to do is be teachable. Have a teachable attitude. I love what Tracy Labrecht says. She's a character blog writer. And she says, I listen to others because I don't know everything. Yes, Gospel for Grampian listeners, if you want to have a spirit of excellence, you need to have a teachable spirit, acknowledging that you have the mind of Christ and that you are in the school of the Holy Spirit. So when he teaches you, you need to be listening with two ears, right? Listening with two ears. And if he tells you to go and study in a certain subject or certain curriculum, you need to go study it because you don't know everything. Okay. And what I love about Dr. Vivian, he says in his book, a person that is teachable, they understand that because of their high calling, they have an assignment to serve at the feet of their teachers who have the power to accelerate their lives towards their destiny. God has got a destiny for you. Then you know that you need to have to get destiny connectors into your space. And so you need to serve your destiny connectors by submitting to their teaching. And the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. Why few are chosen? Not many are willing to submit to the training, to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and to those destiny connectors that God has put in their lives. Many are called, but to be chosen, you need to have a teachable spirit. So you need to submit to the teachers because they have got the power to accelerate your life towards your destiny. And that comes from Dr. Vivian's book, page 112. And I was thinking about myself, Gospel for Grampian listeners. I had such a challenge growing up and submitting to teachers and submitting to leadership because I had a problem trusting leaders because of the fact that I was, you know, subject to difficult leadership for such a long time. The authority was unrighteous. It put me in a position where I became rebellious. And rebelliousness deceived me into believing that if I served at the feet of teachers, I was building false relationships because I don't trust those teachers. Therefore, I will never get a reward. So I need to figure all things out by myself. And trying to figure out things by myself, I thought that I knew better than other people. I did not have a teachable spirit. And I made many mistakes in life until I got to the age of 32 and got reborn. And in my reborn state, I learned to submit to God. I learned to submit to the Holy Spirit. I learned to submit to Abba Father. And it was my submission in Christ, to Christ and to the Holy Spirit, where I learned to begin to trust leadership and begin to submit to those in authority, because I understood through my submission to God that submitting to earthly authority meant that I will have protection, because authority is there to protect us. When God puts us under submission, it is for our protection. So to be in authority, we need to be under authority. And the minute we submit to the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and Abba Father, God will place us under the right leadership that we need in order to submit to authority. Even in Christian circles, I remembered I used to keep a distance from positions of authority because I had a problem trusting. But until I got my relationship right with the Lord Jesus Christ, I was then able to submit to authority. I mean, Jesus teaches us how important it is to submit to authority. It says in John 5:19, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing, and whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And this was referring to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knew that Abba Father is his eternal Father. Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. Jesus found his identity in the Word of God. Therefore, he could quote the scriptures of the prophets to tell the people who he was. Because remember, when Jesus left heaven, he left his deity and came on earth as a human flesh. And the Word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, said John. John, the disciple of Christ who wrote the book of John, revealed Jesus as the Son of God. And he talks about Jesus being deity, but when he came to the earth, he submitted to the Father, even though he used to be equal to the Father in heaven. In heaven, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Abba Father were all equal. They were united and they were all equal. But when Jesus came to the earth, he knew his assignment was to save humanity. And that meant he had to put on the position of a human being. And putting on that position, he had no deity authority. So he had to submit to Abba Father. That was his authority. God the Father was his authority, and Holy Spirit was his authority. So taking on the position of a humble servant, he submitted to the authority of the Father in heaven. And therefore he said, I tell you the truth, I can do nothing by myself, but I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I see the Father say. Now that is showing us that Jesus himself, serving on the earth, had a teachable spirit. And that is why you see that throughout these 3 years of ministry, he went and did the most excellent things, and he did many great things. Many, many, many great things that there was not enough space to be able to write of all the accounts that he did. John speaks about it at the end of the book of John. Jesus succeeded in doing many great things throughout his 3 years of ministry by submitting to God, the Father and the Holy Spirit, acknowledging that he's a humble servant here on assignment. Therefore, he needs to only do what God tells him to do. And likewise, for us to be able to be effective in our calling as children of God, is that we have to submit to authority. And we need to have a teachable spirit. I love what Dr. Vivian says in his book, page 113. He says, effective teachers are also eager students. Here we see in Gospel for Grampian listeners that if you're a leader, if you're a teacher, if you're someone that mentors and coaches others, you yourself are also eager students. So it doesn't matter whether you're a student submitting to a leader or a teacher, or whether you're a teacher teaching students. Both ways, we both need to submit as students, understanding that the earth is our classroom and God is our teacher. Therefore, we have to have that mindset that we are students, that every human being are students, and we need to have a teachable spirit. I'm thinking about when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John 3:2, Nicodemus recognized the effectiveness of Jesus' teaching and makes this very profound statement. He says, Nicodemus said to Jesus, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God. Hey? Of the 90 times Jesus was addressed, 60 of these times Jesus was addressed as a teacher. What made Jesus an effective teacher? Jesus was an eager student. And again, we read that Jesus frequently spent time in solitude praying to God. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man attain such learning without having studied? My teaching is not my own, said Jesus. It comes from him who sent me. This is John 5, 15 and 16. Here Jesus is saying again, he's teaching such deep revelation and presenting the kingdom of God to the new covenant, to the people of the time. And he's saying, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. And here's a leader submitting and humbling himself and saying, I'm learning from the Father and teaching you. And that is one way of developing a spirit of excellence in leadership by acknowledging that everything we teach and every revelation we receive is of the living God and nothing of ourselves. Just like Jesus said, I can do nothing without the Father. A teachable spirit says, I can do nothing without God. I love what Tracy Labrecht says. She says, don't be complacent with what you already know. Stay away from stagnation and keep on growing as a person. And we see the reason Jesus' teachings were so amazing and that 60 times people addressed him in the New Testament as teacher, it was because the revelation and the depth of his teaching spoke to them. It transformed them. And to get that kind of revelation, we have to be growing. And how Jesus grew was having time with the Father, spending time with the Father. Therefore, he could say, everything I say comes from heaven, comes from the Father, and not myself. And I love Dr. Vivian in his book highlighting the importance of continuous improvement as part of the principles of excellence. He emphasizes that excellence is not a destination, but a journey that one must continually trailblaze throughout their life on earth. Whatever level of excellence that you have reached today becomes the foundation for the next level tomorrow. Tomorrow, Jesus had such consistency that even though nobody on earth ordained him as a teacher, the people, the congregation labeled him as a teacher because he was teachable, studying under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and Father God, that he was able to give such deep revelation. And so too with us, when we choose to be teachable and allow God and submit to God, to the leadership that he places us in to learn for whatever he wants to flow through our lives, then we will be like what Dr. Vivian says, that whatever level of excellence you have reached today becomes the foundation for your next level tomorrow. You know, I'm thinking about Dr. Vivian's book. That book really, really transformed me. And I encourage our listeners, if you want to grow in excellence, please go into Amazon or Destiny College International and seek for the book called Excellence Driven for Success by Dr. Vivian Rogers. And I'm going to highlight some really, really inspirational nuggets that I got out of the book for myself, and hoping you would get that book after you listen to our inspiration today and grow yourself in excellence as your foundation for your success for the year ahead. Now, why does God hate complacency? Complacency is an attribute of the devil's dominion, and anything that is of Satan's dominion is in conflict to God's sovereignty. Okay, the Merriam-Webster dictionary defines complacency as ego, self-glory, conceitedness, pridefulness, self-assumption, self-conceit, self-congratulation, self-love, and vanity. My gosh, there's a lot of me, myself, and I in complacency. When we're in complacency zone, we think we've got it together. We are all good on our own and we are at the top level and we don't need God. And you see the qualities of the devil's dominion and the devil's characteristics in complacency. That is why God hates complacency. So you need to get out of complacency zone this January month and enter into excellence mode. Okay? I love what Proverbs 18:9 says. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Why does God impose excellency in born-again individuals? God's reputation on the earth is of excellence, right? King David says in Psalms 1:3, Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. God's excellency is revealed in everything that he created. And so God hates complacency because he's a God of excellence. And the Hebrew word for excellence is Ada. And Ada means majestic. The concordance defines excellence as glorious, leader, magnificent, majestic, mighty, noble, powerful, and stately. Adam is the expression of God in terms of excellence, and God expects us, his children, to exhibit excellence, to exhibit Adam, because that is who God is, and anyone who is in God must express that inherent nature of excellence, majesty, glorious, mighty, noble, powerful. All that is excellence, and that is exactly who Daniel was. He had a more excellent spirit. He was majestic. He was third in charge under the kingship. He was a glorious leader. He was a mighty man. He was noble. He was powerful. He was stately because he had a more excellent spirit, and God has given us that excellent spirit, and so we need to have that nature. We cannot enjoy the abundant life with attributes of complacency. It distorts our reputation as sovereign family of God. Okay? Complacency exposes the Satan's qualities such as selfishness, greediness, pridefulness, and vanity. God allows us to go through glorious transformation by exploring his word, by spending time with him, because when we spend time with God, we know our identity. We understand that we are a class of distinction, and we do not allow ourselves to fall into vainglory and self-conceitedness, etc. Therefore, we do not entertain complacency, because we are children of God and we have a teachable spirit submitting to the Holy Spirit. And when we submit to the Holy Spirit, then you must know that excellence is going to be what is radiating through us. I love what Ephesians 3:20 says. Now to him who is able to do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Let's look at the life of Joseph. Joseph's life is an example of God's abundance of grace and purpose-driven life that God planned for all of us. And whilst Joseph experienced enslavement and unjust imprisonment, his experiences prepared him for the standard of living that God designed for him in the palace. Joseph's life back home did not prepare him for excellency. Therefore, he had to be taken into slavery and prison experience in order for him to get rid of ego and pridefulness and self-importance and boastfulness, so that the excellence of God, the power, the nobleness, the majestic, the leader that God had put in him can come forth, so that he can have the position of distinction as the prime minister of Egypt. Egypt was the most powerful nation of the time. And in order for Joseph to have that nobleness of excellence, he had to undergo a period of transformation, a process of transformation, so that he can get rid of the me, myself, and I. He had to get rid of the complacency and get into the excellent spirit mode, so that he can operate as an effective, powerful, influential prime minister of Egypt. Excellence changed Joseph's demeanor. And we can see that when his brothers came to buy grain in Egypt, they didn't even recognize him as the brother. When they sold him to slavery, he was this boastful, bragging brother that had a robe of many colors. But when God took and promoted Joseph, his demeanor was one of power, majesty, nobleness, that his own brothers bowed down to him, not knowing that they were bowing down to their brother. They were bowing down to the sovereign leader, not knowing that the sovereign leader is their brother. Excellency changes your demeanor, your outlook, the way you look, because there's an aura about you in terms of power, influence. And your presence commands respect. You have boldness and courage and strength like never before, that your own brothers who did not even fear you and sold you into slavery suddenly is intimidated by the power and sovereignty that you carry as a man of excellence, that they bow down, not knowing that this is you, their brother. So excellency changes your outlook. Excellency radiates qualities such as boldness, courage, strength, wisdom, intelligence, humility, and teachability that enables you to embrace the abundant life that Jesus reserved for the saints of God to inherit. I believe that Joseph would have been intimidated by the abundant life, and he would have never been able to respond to the interpretation that Pharaoh needed him to hear, because he would have been intimidated by the presence of Pharaoh had he not gone through his own excellence transformation journey. Like we said, excellence transforms your outlook, that people see you as a strong, powerful person. Therefore, when Pharaoh took him out of prison, Pharaoh did not see a prisoner. Pharaoh saw a mighty man who will be able to save the economy of Egypt. So where you come from does not matter, but what you went through and how you allowed yourself to be transformed by what you went through is the outlook that determines your success in life. I'm thinking about Isaiah 12:5. It says here, "Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." And that is just so amazing. David understood God so well, and he was able to write such amazing psalms about the excellency of God. And even Isaiah talks about it in Isaiah chapter 12. I love what Dr. Vivian says in page 17 of his book. He says, "It is up to you and I, Gospel for Grampian listeners, to work on unlocking those treasures on the inside of us by pursuing excellence. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, to proclaim the virtues of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, this scripture is clearly revealing to us that all people who are born again are God's own chosen possession, appointed, anointed, and ordained as royal citizens, a moral and virtuous nation set apart as a standard of God's kingdom, God's nation, the virtues of God. Aretas is a strong Greek word that describes virtue as goodness. We're a nation of goodness. We're a upright nation, and God calls us to be that upright, virtuous, goodness nation, to be the light so that people can look at us and be drawn to Christ Jesus by the excellence that we exhibit in our lives. Excellence is an essential quality that born-again Christians ought to exhibit, as illustrated in the description of our royal kingdom nationality, 2 Peter 9. People of high-ranking positions are addressed as Your Excellency. It is a courteous title used when addressing foreign officials, including high foreign national ambassadors and accredited ministers. As citizens of heaven, Gospel for Grampian listeners, we are officials of a sovereign kingdom, a kingdom far greater than earthly ranks. Therefore, our excellency is not exposed by way of addressing us as Your Excellency, but rather by our conduct, our lifestyle. Just like how people saw Daniel's lifestyle and said he has a more excellent spirit. The same with Joseph. Potiphar saw a more excellent spirit in him. He didn't go there, and neither did Daniel go there and say, "Oh, wow, I'm an excellent person." No. The way they spoke, their outlook in life, the way they spoke, the way they walked, the way they talked, the things they knew, their intellectual capacity, the wisdom and knowledge that flowed through them radiated excellence. Therefore, they were respected. Therefore, they were promoted. Therefore, they were honored because they had a more excellent spirit, which radiated from God through their lives. So for us to radiate excellency, it is exhibited through our conduct. We cannot radiate God's reputation by living a life of slothfulness, wickedness, and complacency. Those are qualities of the devil. And so as we start our 2024 January month, let us go and reflect on our conduct, on our lifestyle, on our attitude. Do we exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, or are we exhibiting the nature of the devil? What is coming out of our lips? What is coming out of our thoughts? How thinkest us? Hey, out of the abundance of the heart, we speak, we do, we act, and we make decisions. Is everything that we're doing exhibiting the excellency of an eternal kingdom, or the slothfulness and wickedness and complacency of an earthly limited lifespan? To be excellent means that we must have dignity, be valiant and bold, be of the best kind with distinguished qualities. Dr. Vivian says this, to be excellent means that we must have dignity, be valiant and bold, and also be of the best kind with distinguished qualities. Yes, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Women, you are a distinguished woman. Men, you are distinguished men. Youth, you are distinguished youth. That is how we're supposed to be described as. So when we have excellence, people look at us and go, wow, that is a distinguished woman. That is a distinguished man. That is a distinguished youth. The Bible reveals to us in Hebrews 8:6 that Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry, and Jesus maintained this not only in heaven as God, but on earth as well. 2 Peter 1:3 highlights that God, according as his divine power, had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ that has called us to glory and virtue. God has called us to glory and virtue. If you don't have excellence, you cannot have enjoy glory. If you don't have excellence, you cannot enjoy virtue. Glory, as defined by Dr. Villian, is dignity, praise, and worship. Virtue is defined as moral goodness, excellence of good quality. So the revelation we have from these scriptures is that God's standard for our lives entails dignity, honor, morally astuteness, and excellence as qualities designed to praise and worship God. We cannot praise and worship God with heaven's standard of excellence if we operate in complacency. We cannot worship God slothfully. Our worship will be false and pretentious, because a complacent person is self-centered, self-focused, and conceited. Conceited individuals don't praise, honor, and worship anything above themselves. In order to worship God in spirit and in truth, it is essential that we exhibit qualities of virtue and dignity and be bold about our convictions of our eternal kingdom. Raymond Devetri, who is a philosophy of virtue, he says, if you have one virtue, you have them all. Virtues cannot be separated. A person lacking the virtue of temperance also lacks the virtues of justice, love, and so forth. I just love this, because our January month of Inspiration Gospel for Grampian listeners is talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And that is one way of developing a spirit of excellence, by focusing on developing the fruits of the Spirit. You know, if you've got impatience, then you need to develop patience. So what you do is you acknowledge before God, God, I've noticed I'm impatient. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. I receive your grace to develop the qualities of patience. When you do that, Gospel for Grampian listeners, the Lord God will allow you to be placed in environments where you are tested in terms of patience. And the Word of God says, you will be tested until you have been perfected. And so, to have a virtue of temperance, you need to have self-control, patience, enjoy the peace and the joy, be a person of love and not hate. So we will, as Gospel for as Women of Africa Care, be unpacking the fruits of the Holy Spirit during our January month to help you cultivate a spirit of excellency. So as we continue talking about excellency, I love what Kevin Timper says. He says, excellence is a quality that makes an individual a good member of its kind. Excellence is defining features of one's character. I love what he says here, a good member of its kind. We spoke earlier on that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. To be a good member of this nation, excellence must be exhibited in us. Excellence is measured in the manner that one serves through personal conduct. Dr. Vivian highlights some important qualities that a person of excellence radiates, namely truth, integrity, servant heart, humility. So, Gospel for Grampian listeners today, if you assess your life, are you a person of truth or lies? Integrity or not keeping at your word? The Bible says that we must keep at our word even if it hurts. So if you make a commitment to somebody, even if it hurts, you need to keep at it. That is one of the qualities of excellence. What about servant heart? Serving others, esteeming others more highly than yourself. Jesus esteemed everybody on the earth more highly than himself when he went on the cross and took on all the world's sin. Once and for all, a perfect human being. Jesus came on the earth in a perfect human being without sin, perfect in every way, and yet esteemed others more highly than himself when he took on the sinner's qualities on the cross by taking on all of humanity's sin. He esteemed everybody on that cross more highly than himself and went to hell on our behalf. And that is what a servant's heart is, where I uplift everybody and make other people look better than myself, lifting others above myself. That is what servant heart is. Humility. Humility is I humble myself, your God, and whatever you tell me to do, I submit to it. Doesn't matter if it's going to make my reputation look bad because it's lower than the position I thought I would ever have. Imagine Jesus being the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came to serve humanity, that he had a position lower than those Pharisees that served in the synagogue. So do you have a spirit of humility where you think you should be a teacher and God tells you, no, you're not a teacher. You're going to be a student for the next year. Are you willing to submit to those in authority and let them teach you versus you teach them? So humility is a sign of, it doesn't matter, Lord, what position you put me in. I resist ego, I resist pride, and I submit to the position that you place me in where you want me to serve. Excellence is our conduct for the kingly standard of living. Dr. Vivian says, excellent people weigh every word against the word of the living God before they heed to the voice. So what he's saying here, Dr. Vivian is saying that when a voice is spoken to them, they always go back to the truth, which is the word of God, ensuring that whatever is said to them, that it is in confirmation to the word of God. Because if it doesn't align to the word of God, it is not a spirit of excellence. So you've got to always test whatever is being told to you, taught to you, inspired to you, is it in line with the word of God? Because people of integrity makes the word of God their sovereign authority in their lives. They put the word of God above their lives, above their circumstances. Even God himself says that he puts his word above himself. He puts Christ above all things. Okay? So we need to make sure that whatever voice we hear, whatever they tell us is in line with truth, which is the word of God. Consistency is critical for a person of excellence. When you cultivate a spirit of excellence, consistency is a critical characteristic. We cannot be consistently excellent if we do not adopt the word of God as the foundation for life. So being consistent in the word of God is what helps us maintain a spirit of excellence. There is a fine line that divides self-glory and God-glory, because when success manifests in our lives, we can easily be trapped by conceitedness and self-achievement mindset. Therefore, applying the Word of God helps us to humble ourselves and to discern the attitude of our heart concerning our success. Excellence, the outcome of godly excellence is success. But if we don't stay consistently in the Word of God, when we do have success, we'll get trapped by thinking we achieved it, we did it, and God is not in it. But when we stay consistent in the Word of God, when the success comes, all the glory goes to God. Like Jesus said, nothing I do is of myself. Everything I say, everything I teach comes from the Father of lights. And so because he was consistent with the Father and submitting to the Holy Spirit, Jesus never glorified himself on the earth. He had to allow the Father to glorify him. And whatever he did, he brought glory to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. Self-success is short-lived and results in self-satisfaction, which leads to complacency. Whereas God-inspired success is maintained. We go from glory to glory, continuous excellence and higher levels of performance, eradicating mediocrity, just like our wonderful brother Daniel in the book of Daniel. He succeeded as serving in positions of authority in stately governmental positions over four different kings over a period of over 60 years because he maintained his excellence through humbling himself to God. Because every time he had to do a task for the kings, he always brought God into the picture and made it clear that my God will give the answer. My God will deliver me. Okay? And we learn from God's nature that integrity is a class of distinction that born-again Christians have. It sets us apart and it destroys the life of mediocrity. Now, I love this from Larry Roach. He is a professional trainer of personal character. And he says that it is really our character that determines our success. He says your character is the real you. Character is much more than reputation. Reputation is only what others see and think about us. But our character is who we really are. Even when no one is watching. I love this. And we learn from Dr. Vivian's book that integrity is what governs good character. So as we are developing our New Year's resolution, please let the spirit of excellency be your number one cultivating resolution for the beginning of this year. Because if you get the foundation of your year starting with an excellent spirit, everything you're going to do this year, Gospel for Grampian listeners, is going to be with the right spirit and the spirit of excellency, which only comes from God. And therefore, everything you do, people will observe it and say, wow, everything you do is of excellence. Just like David says, when I look at all the earth, I just see the excellence of God. When you look at everything you do throughout the year, you will just see the excellency of God because you chose this year that your New Year's resolution foundation is going to be cultivating a spirit of excellency. I love what Dr. Vivian says in the 10 characteristics of an excellent spirit. He says they are extraordinary, they are extreme, they are champions, they are explicit, they are loyal, they are love. They are exuberant, they are noble, they are confident, and they are exquisite. These are the 10 pillars that he says that transforms characteristics out of mediocrity into excellence. And we see those qualities exhibited in Daniel, in King David, in King Solomon. And these are the pillars that we need to cultivate in order to develop a more excellent spirit. Dr. Keith Johnson, he's called America's number one coach. He's also one of my favorite lecturers. And he wrote the book called The Confidence Makeover. He says you need to have an all things possible mentality. And to be extraordinary is one of the characteristics of excellence is that you have to get rid of the boundaries, get rid of the limitations, go above and beyond barriers, have great faith, and exhibit an all things are possible mentality. And Dr. Keith says, to achieve anything extraordinary, there is always a risk. There is always a risk. And so if you follow those 10 pillars that Dr. Vivian talks about, then you will see that your risk taking to do extraordinary things is calculated risk. Because why? You are extraordinary. You are extreme. You are a champion. You are explicit. You are loyal. You are loving. You are exuberant. You are noble. You are confident and you are exquisite. So being extraordinary is a calculated risk that you can take. A very appropriate statement made by General Stonewall Jackson when he was taking risks. He said, never take counsel of your fears. And he highlights that risk-taking is calculated. However, allowing fear to influence your strategy will cripple your momentum. Therefore, overcoming fears is critical when undertaking extraordinary exploits. As leaders, as students, under the mighty hand of the Holy Spirit, we need to become aware of our fears and address it with God so that we can take calculated risks that the Spirit of the Lord wants us to take. Faith is a risk because you're putting it on things unseen. You're putting it on the Word of God and a kingdom that you cannot see. The Bible says the just live by faith. And if you have fear, you cannot be a person of excellence because the kingdom of God, everything of the kingdom of God is extracted by faith and not fear. Zig Ziglar explains the impact of attitude. He says it is your attitude more than your aptitude that will determine your altitude. So to be a person of excellence, your attitude needs to be one of godly excellence. Complacency will allow you to walk in fear and you will never be able to take the faith walking on water journeys that God wants you to take. You'll never be able to be extraordinary. You will never be able to be the champion. You will never be able to break boundaries and remove the barriers if you choose to not review your excellence barometer. And a big part of excellence is measured by your aptitude, by your attitude. Okay, so don't focus on how high you want to go. Rather focus on cultivating a good attitude, an attitude of excellency. As we close our first session for January month, I trust you've been blessed with the spirit of excellence. Let that be your New Year's foundation, developing and cultivating a spirit of excellence. Please consider what I'm saying today as you start your new year 2024. Develop a spirit of excellence so that everything you do this year will be from a spirit of God, which is the spirit of excellence. So when people look at you, they will see that everything you do is one of excellence. Thank you for joining us, Women of Africa Care on Air. We will continue next week as we unpack some characteristics, some attitudes you need to develop to be a person of excellence. From me to you, ta-ta.
Sun and the stars, you're bigger than the things. Oh, they could tear me apart. You're bigger than a universe. You're bigger than the sun and the stars. You're bigger than the things. Oh my, they could tear me apart. For I know you're greater than all the earth. For I know you're greater than all the earth. Earth, you're bigger. You're bigger than the problems I face. You're bigger than the disasters I've seen. You're bigger, you're so much bigger, Jesus, than what this life may bring. Oh Lord, yeah, you're bigger than the universe. Yes, you are. You're bigger than the sun and the stars. You're bigger than the things, bigger than the things that could tear me apart. You're great. Sing, for I know. You're so great. You're so great. For I know. You're great. Bigger, you're bigger, Jesus, bigger than anything I've seen, bigger, yeah, yeah, you're bigger, yes you are, you're bigger, Jesus, you're bigger than any marital problem, you're bigger than any broken home, Lord. You're bigger than life, Jesus. You're even bigger than negativity. Oh, you're bigger, yes you are. Oh, you're bigger. Bigger than HIV. Bigger than cancer, Jesus. You're bigger than diabetes. The stripes on your back makes you bigger. The stripes on your back, they make you bigger. They make you bigger. Your blood makes you bigger. Your love makes you bigger. You overcame death, and that makes you bigger. That makes you bigger. Hey, say, you're bigger, Yeshua, Lord. You're bigger, Jesus, hey, yeah. You're bigger than identity confusion. You're bigger than a mistake, yeah. For I know you're greater than all the earth. For I know you're greater than all the earth. For I know. You're greater than all the earth. You're bigger. Oh, you're bigger.